Will you please turn in your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 2. 2 Kings chapter 2. A few weeks ago, it's been a few weeks since I've gotten a chance to pull out 2 Kings chapter 2 and look at Elisha crossing Jordan. I thought it was kind of interesting that God led Derek to talk about Elisha last week, and I thought that was a neat thing, that that's what God laid on his heart. Because I said a few weeks ago, I love Elijah, but God laid on my heart to talk about Elisha. And I just think that that's neat, the way that, you know, I didn't tell him, I'm talking about Elisha, so you can talk about Elisha. God just works and directs in an amazing way. It's been a few weeks, so I just kind of like to look over some of the notes that I have here. We've been talking about how Elijah had to pass the mantle on to Elisha, and what needed to be done. And we looked here that God prepared Elisha for the ministry. He spent 10 years serving, working, and preparing for the ministry that God would have him. Just like God took time to prepare Moses, Paul, the apostles. God prepares the people that he'll serve. Sometimes he'll just drop somebody in and give them a special opportunity to minister right out of the gate. But God also, like in the life of Elisha, prepares. Then we looked at three things that we are going to see here in the Elijah passing the mantle onto Elisha. The first was loyalty. And as we looked at loyalty, we said he had loyalty to his God. And as we looked at the loyalty to his God, we saw his journey, that they went to Bethel, and then on to Jericho, and finally on to Jordan. We kind of looked at how that was like a picture of our lives and in our journey and our loyalty to our God. And then we looked at his loyalty to his God and his loyalty to the heart of Elijah. And as we looked at that, I talked about how we need to be loyal to others, loyal to the church body, loyal to our spouse, loyal to our family. God is looking for people who are willing to be loyal. Loyal to him, loyal to the service that he has for us. And loyalty is an important part of what we need to be in our lives. And after we looked at loyalty, we looked at his faith. He said a faith needs to be a tested faith. And if we desire to increase our faith, we need to be prepared to have our faith tested. And the end result is a beautiful thing. What God has for us as he tests us and he tries us is for us to come out the other side prepared, finished, completed for God's kingdom. And the last thing I want to look at today is this idea of persistence. So we have our Bibles open to 2 Kings chapter 2. And it's been a while since we've read this passage. So I'd like us to read 2 Kings chapter 2 so we can kind of get the picture in our mind again. And in 2 Kings chapter 2 in verse 1 it says, "And it came to pass, when the Lord was about to take Elijah into heaven by a whirlwind, that Elijah went with Elisha from Gilgal. Then Elijah said to Elisha, 'Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me unto Bethel.' But Elisha said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you. So they went down to Bethel. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' And he said, 'Yes, I know. Keep silent.' Then Elijah said to him, 'Elisha, stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jericho.' But he said, 'As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you.' So they came to Jericho. Now the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho came to Elisha and said to him, 'Do you know that the Lord will take away your master from over you today?' So he answered, "Yes, I know, keep silent." Then Elijah said to him, "Stay here, please, for the Lord has sent me on to Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on, and 50 men of the sons of the prophets went and stood facing them at a distance, while the two of them stood by Jordan. Now Elijah took his mantle, rolled it up, and struck the water, and it was divided this way and that, so that the two of them crossed over on dry ground. And so it was, when they had crossed over, that Elijah and said to Elisha, "Ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you?" Elisha said, "Please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me." So he said, "You have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you see me when I am taken from you, it shall be so for you. But if not, it shall not be so." Then it happened, as they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw it, and he cried out, "My father, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen." So he saw him no more, and he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. He also took up the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him, went back, and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And when he had struck the water, it was divided this way and that, and Elisha crossed over. Today I want to talk to us about persistence in looking for our coming Savior. As we see in this passage, Elisha, he was persistent. When Elijah wanted him to stay behind, Elisha said, "No, I'm not staying behind. I'm going with you." And as Elijah and Elisha are having this last conversation, what would you ask me? And he said, "I ask you of a double, that I might receive a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah said, "If you see me when I go up into the heaven, then that thing will be granted with you." And I have underlined in my Bible, in verse 12, I got it underlined twice, said, "Elisha saw it." And I underlined that a couple of times. And I think about how amazing that was, that Elisha, with his persistence, kept his eyes focused. And I've always, when I talk about the rapture to people, and what that's kind of looked like, I like looking at Enoch in the book of Genesis. And I like looking at Elijah. And then I can take him into the New Testament and talk about what the rapture is going to look like and what that means. And so here I think about it. I think about Elisha. He kept his eye and he was focused on Elijah being caught up into heaven. And as believers, as we are serving our Savior, we need to keep in our minds persistently that the Lord could call us home to heaven at any moment. In the moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And we got to be ready. And with persistence, we need to be prepared for the day that our Savior could call us home. Could be today. That's why we sang that song this morning. What if it were today? Are we ready? Is our mind, our thoughts, our we need to, as 2 Timothy says, be prepared to love, long for His appearing. It's coming soon. And I can't wait to see my Jesus. And I hope you feel the same way too. I have a friend who a couple of times has told me a story about when he was a little guy. He's younger than me. And his dad was going to take him to see Ronald Reagan. And so when he was a young guy, probably, I can't imagine, he's 10 years younger than me, and I can't imagine that he could have been 4 to 8 years old when his dad took him to see Ronald Reagan. And he saw Ronald Reagan from afar, and there was a large group of people around him, but he got to, as a little boy, see Ronald Reagan. And I can just picture this little kid, like, on his tippy toes, looking up through the crowd, taking a peek at, to get a chance to see Ronald Reagan. He probably, at 4 years old, he probably had very little idea of the importance and who Ronald Reagan was, other than he was the guy on TV and he was the president. Can't you almost see a child being taken to see Donald Trump today, and a group of people, and him not really understanding what Donald Trump means and who Donald Trump, he's just the guy on TV, the president, right? But looking through the crowd, peeking and trying to just get a glimpse of the president of the United States. Have you ever got a chance to see a famous person? And you go in a large group of people and everything going on, you get a chance to see, and you might see them and maybe even shake their hand, maybe even say a few words to them. I don't know about you. For me, I've had a couple of opportunities to see famous people, and maybe to see them from a distance, from afar. And in most situations, when I walked away unimpressed. Didn't meet the expectations that I maybe had built up in my head. Oh, I'm going to see that person? Neat! But then you get a chance to see them, and there's no personal relationship. They don't know who you are. They don't care if you're there or not. Let me tell you, I hope that when you think about seeing Jesus Christ, it's a totally different thing. I long for the day that I'll see my Savior. And I want to be like that kid, peeking over everybody's shoulders, looking to see Jesus. Looking for the day where he calls the church home. Also, not only do I look forward to the day where he calls his church home and we go to meet him in the Lord and find out that he's going to have the marriage supper of the Lamb prepared for us. And he says, I will be your God and you will be my people. He died for us. And he cares a lot that we're there. And he's been listening to our prayers for years. And he's been answering them. And we're going to walk with him. And I love the way Isaiah says it. Before we ask, he's going to answer. That's why I'm persistently looking for the rapture. Looking for my Savior. Because I can't wait to have that fellowship and that relationship with him. And we will not be disappointed. As a matter of fact, everything that I read in this book is it is going to far exceed our expectations. Not only do I look forward to the rapture, I look forward to the second return of Christ. And when he comes back to touch down here on planet Earth and to set up his kingdom to reign for 1,000 years with all of eternity to follow, I am so, so excited. When I think about persistence and looking for our Savior and serving our Savior, A lot of things come to mind, and the first is, what should we be looking for? I'm not looking for Elijah's taking up into heaven in a fiery furnace. Elisha was, and that wasn't a bad thing. That was a very positive thing, and God granted him the double portion that he was asking for, and it was a positive thing when Elisha saw it. But we're looking for something different today. We're looking for the return of our Savior, and it's coming soon. So the first thing that we need to understand is we need to know what we are looking for. What should be the focus of our sight? And let's turn over in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. We must look to Jesus. Pastor Baker has been preaching on Hebrews chapter 12. And I had this in my notes before he even got started. And I wasn't going to take it out. I figured I'd just compliment and reiterate and bring more focus to what he's been saying. And say that as we look, as we fix our gaze, and as we look persistently, our persistent gaze needs to be on Jesus Christ. In Hebrews chapter 12, it says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." When I think about people looking for a prize, looking for the end, some of the things that they will do. This girl that I have in my class, she's in gymnastics, and she comes in and she says, "Mr. Wilson, I was doing gymnastics all night last night. And look at my hands. They got blisters on them." And she's like, "I've been doing gymnastics. I got this competition coming up, and I've been doing gymnastics every night." I'm just like, wow. That's persistence because she's got a goal in mind. Right? And that's just, for me, gymnastics, I wouldn't be doing that every night. But I remember being her age and playing basketball. I played basketball for Dean and Joyce Jenks' son. He was my coach. And he said, "Okay, guys, we got basketball practice at 6 o'clock in the morning tomorrow." And I was like, oh boy. And he ran us and he said, we did that. We loved basketball. That was persistence because we had a goal in mind. I have kids that they want the highest grade in their class, so they go home and they study and they study and they study and they study, and they are way more prepared than I could ever be. I wish that I could take some of those kids' study time and give it to some others, but that's, people are persistent. Because they got their eyes fixed on something. There was hockey championships and basketball championships. They were persistent in their preparation. We have something far greater coming up. Jesus Christ is coming soon. I would trade being the valedictorian of a school for seeing a glimpse of the rapture. I would trade a Super Bowl ring for being a chance to get a glimpse of the second return of Christ. I would trade in a gold medal, $1 million, fancy cars, being crowned the Princess of England. I really don't want that at all, but just thinking about things that are going on right now, I would trade all of those things to hear Jesus Christ say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." We need to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus. Let's turn over in our Bibles to 1 Chronicles chapter 16 as we look at seeking continually. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. Verse 11 is the one that I want to focus on, but in preparation, I said I really want to read verses 8 to 13. As the ark is being placed back in the tabernacle, David gives these words to us. And in verse 8 it says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. Sing to him, sing praises to him, talk of all his wondrous works. Glory in his holy temple. Let the hearts of those rejoice who seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face forevermore. Remember his marvelous works which he hath done, his wondrous wonders and the judgments of his mouth. O seed of Israel, his servant, your children of Jacob, his chosen ones." As I look at this passage, David is saying, seek God, because look at the things that he has done for you and think about the things that he will do for you. The reputation that goes before him says that you should be seeking him today. And as I ask you with persistence to seek your Savior, remember the things that he has done. And I think about David and the wonderful works and the wonderful things that he saw God do. We've seen God do so much more. And as we think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross and the gift of his resurrection and what that means for us today, we should be able to proclaim what God has done to our neighbors, to our relatives, and we are excited about this. Why would anyone want to see a famous athlete who had never done anything? If you wanted to meet, I don't know, some Michael Jordan, it's because he's won all these championships. He probably doesn't care if you meet him. And he's done some neat things, but probably in 100 years, people will forget all about him. But the things that King Jesus did, he did for you. And when he defeated the enemy, he did it for you. And when he conquered sin, he did it to redeem this world back to himself. Because of the great things he has done, we should seek his face always, continually. Just keep longing and keep looking for our Savior. The next thing I'd like us to look at is to watch expectantly. Watch expectantly. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Micah, the book of Micah. Oh, I gave you a hard one. Not Psalms or Matthew, but I asked you to look for Micah. I'll give you a second to find that minor prophet. And let's look at Micah. I'd like to read verses 2 to 7. Says, "The faithful man has perished from the earth, and there is no one upright among men. They all lie in wait for blood. Every man hunts his brother with a net, that they may successfully do evil with both hands. The prince asks for gifts. The judge seeks bribes. And the great man utters his evil desire. So they scheme together. The best of them is like a briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of your watchmen and your punishment comes. Now shall be their perplexity. Do not trust in a friend. Do not put your confidence in a companion. Guard the doors of your mouth from her who lies in your bosom. For son dishonors father. Daughter rises against her mother, daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own household. Therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. This kind of goes along with what I've been saying all along. If you were looking for a famous person, if you were looking at everyone else in this world, may disappoint you, may not meet your expectations, may stab you in the back, has their own agenda. But read verse 7 with that in mind. Even if everyone turns their back on you, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Think about that. That little boy going to meet the president, Ronald Reagan. The president didn't come over and say, I want to hear what you have to say today because that means a lot to me and I'm going to make a difference about it. But when we go to our Savior, he says, I want to hear what you have to say today because when I act, I will make a difference. I can influence your world. The trials and the troubles and the situations that you're going in through, I've got a purpose for them. And I will help you get through these things. I'm listening. That's why we should be keeping our eyes fixed on our Lord. Next, as we have persistence in looking for our Savior, we need to wait for the Lord. Let's turn over in our Bibles to Psalm 33. In Psalm 33, it says, our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and shield. Earlier in this psalm, David says, some people, they put their hope in the king. Some people put their hope in horses, in safety, in big walls, but don't trust in those things. Your shield, the person who will protect you, the one that you should be waiting and trusting in, that will never let you down, is your Lord and Savior. So wait on the Lord. He's coming, and he's coming to this earth, and when he comes, what he's bringing with him is victory. Victory over our enemy. We also need to wait eagerly. I hope this morning, as you think about the return of the Lord, that your thoughts are that you are eager for the return of the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 26, and verse 8, a verse that we already read this morning, it says, yes, in the way of your judgment, O Lord, we have waited for you. The desire of our souls is for your name and for the remembrance of you. Are we eagerly awaiting the coming of our King? Are we eagerly awaiting his soon return? We need to look patiently while the world scoffs. I read 2 Peter chapter 3 last night. And as I read that passage in preparation for this morning, I didn't write any notes. I kind of had my outline here and I've had this prepared for a while. But I made like last-minute notes last night as I was reviewing stuff for this morning. And I didn't put any notes after 2 Peter chapter 3. I think it speaks for itself. And I'll read that passage this morning. It says, beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir up your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and say, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willfully forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed perished, being flooded with water. But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away in a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent, be found by him in peace, without spot and blameless. Elisha looked as he saw Elijah being caught up into heaven. We need to be looking for the coming of our Savior, looking for the coming of our Lord, and it should change the way we act and the things we do. Because when we see our Savior, he cares. He cares to see you as much as you care to see him. When kings and princes and priests, family members let you down, the Jesus who's coming to reclaim this earth, he will far outweigh your expectations. Look longingly for the coming of your Savior. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you are a good God and that you are coming to earth, Lord. And Lord, I trusted you as my Savior. I know many people here have. We punched our ticket to see our Savior. We're ready. We're prepared. Help us to be excited and help us to keep on watching. Lord, like Elisha, I don't want to miss a thing. I know that so many people here don't want to miss that day either. We look forward to the day that we'll see your face. Thank you so much for your salvation. In your Son, Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's take our hymnals this morning and turn to number 549, Higher Ground, 549. And I really only want to sing the last verse. I was looking at this yesterday and I said, I want to sing the last verse in closing. 549, let's stand and sing verse 4 of Higher Ground. I want to scale the utmost high and catch a glimpse of glory bright, but still I'll pray till heaven I bow. Lord, lead me on to